Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefer, and this is episode number 291. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically VersaPulley, for bringing these episodes to you for free. As I've said many times, I only partner with companies that I believe in, both the people and the product. And Kirsten Martin and the entire gang at VersaPulley are people that I hold in high regard, and what they do for our profession is great as well. So if you're in the market, reach out to them. If not, you know, just let them know how much you appreciate them being part of the show. This week, I'm joined by a buddy of mine, Brad Leshinsky. He's the owner of Primetime Sports. He's got his hand in almost a million different things, but he's a great guy. Doing a lot of things to impact our profession in a positive way. So appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate the time.
Brad, I talked a little bit. I mean, you've been in you're in the academic game a little bit. You've been, you know, you've owned a couple and operated a couple different performance facilities. You've been in the high school setting. You know, out of all those experiences, which experience best defines who you are or best prepared you for your current role?
You know, I'll tell you what, years ago, and I think a lot of people aren't honest about this part of our profession, it's really was getting let go by a position, and realizing that everybody's expandable. Owning my own company, and then when I moved back to, you know, Chicago from Florida, and then working and having a big time company running it, and then being let go, really changed my focus of who was I as a strength coach? Who was I as a leader? Who was I as, you know, a person? And it really makes you self-reflect. And I think oftentimes strength coaches is a very volatile game, no matter if it's in the collegiate game or pro, it's very volatile. So it really taught me who I was and set me up for my next step, which was reopening my own company and then being in higher academia.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I remember talking about, you know, that I never got fired at South Florida, but, you know, I wasn't his guy and he wasn't mine. And so I left on my own, and then getting fired at Tennessee. And each one of those times, I, you know, this is, you know, quite some time ago, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. And you're right. Not very many people talk about it, but it's not if, it's when, you know, in this profession. And, you know, it has nothing to do with your ability as a strength coach most times. It's just the culture, you know, and so you got to accept that going in, and you got to be aware of it. But it is hard when you go through it to continue to be, you know, to keep your spirits up, to understand the, you know, to and I always talk about preparing for those moments of transition. So I know that you have as well. We'll dig into that. Before we do though, what's one of the biggest mistakes you've made in your coaching career and how you've learned from it?
One of the biggest coaching mistakes I've made, there's a lot of them. I think we all have coaching mistakes, but one of the biggest ones was trusting too little. You know, you got a lot of people will say trusting too much. Trusting too little is not trusting my employees, trusting my other coaches to carry out programs, to carry out working with teams, to letting go a little bit as the head strength conditioning coach or the director of sports performance. Oftentimes we think each program we create is our baby and nobody can coach it like we can. The truth is they can. You have to allow them to grow. So not holding back my employees and trusting a little bit more than I should have back in the past. So I think that's a key thing in being a good leader and being a good director of a program is to trust your people around you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we all think we're our own special snowflake, but right. The reality is that, you know, a true mark of a leader is developing other leaders and putting them in positions to be able to develop and be prepared for that is really what it's about. And so I often would find times to, you know, to let them lead a warm up, to let them lead the message before the lift or the message after the lift, or, you know, go to a staff meeting with me and contribute or present or whatever it may be, just so that they could experience some of the things that you had to do on the dot, because it's really the job. I mean, that ends up being the job when you're a leader, is defining that culture and directing the program. And that's the thing you don't get exposed to if you don't have a good boss.
Right.
You know, one of the things that you're very passionate about, I mean, we both sat in on the NSCA special committee, whatever that committee was that we went out and did. And you're very, you know, what I know about you, you know, in our friendship is that you're very passionate about giving back to coaches and continuing to make it better than you found it. Give me some tactical things. I mean, some things that you've done in your career. I mean, obviously you've had people work for you. You've been in academia where you've had students come through, but it's beyond just, you know, what's been in front of you. You've gone above and beyond. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you think coaches should be doing to make it better than they found it?
I think one of the things is providing continuing education for things for your employees beyond going to conferences and memberships of like the NSCA, which is phenomenal, which I do for all my employees, but really getting into like specifics. So something like Lee Taft, right? Great coach, great speed insider guy, great speed guy. He came out with a program a couple months ago and I thought it was valuable. So I bought it for my employees. I said, you know, a lot of the stuff we know, you know, but it's great reminders, but they've never been exposed to it at the higher academia level. They get their degrees in exercise science or master's degrees. They're not exposed to people actually coaching, you know, right. They're exposed to what they're exposed to, especially in the small universities like I'm at. So it's important to give them those things, like a Joe DeFranco. I like Joe DeFranco stuff. I think he's an interesting cat. I think he's really cool in the private sector. And giving them insider stuff on that and letting them be involved in some of my meetings with my mentors for my business stuff, teaching them how to be a business person. We don't get taught that at the undergraduate level or even the graduate level of how to carry ourselves in a professional manner. So taking them to conferences, but not just taking them, showing them how to network. You know, we hear that theme in a lot of your podcasts about networking. Networking is golden, but nobody ever really teaches you how to network. So some things I've done for our students is I set up a thing with Milwaukee Bucks in April where we go up there, go to a game, but we're also going to meet their strength staff. We're going to meet some of their business people to understand how to network and just exposing them to what's outside of their area of what they consider their expertise or something that they like and making them a little bit uncomfortable. Coaches tend to stay in their comfort zone and we only get better when we get a little bit uncomfortable. We have those things that we're not really sure about, like presenting. I make all my coaches present. We have a thing at St. Lawrence, which we run their high school program. We have to do our parent and athlete night. And I made my head strength coach over there, I made him present this year. And he's like, what do I do? And I'm like, it's all set for you, but you got to learn to get up in front of people. You have to learn how to articulate yourself as a professional. Yes, we're all coaches, but we're always on a platform, just different platforms. I've seen you present. I've seen some great presenters. I mean, guys like Martin Rooney are phenomenal presenters, but it takes years to perfect that. The younger we can expose our coaches and our young coaches to that, the better they're going to be.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. We have the NSCA Coaches Conference coming up here pretty soon. I don't know if you're going to be at that or not, but for that young coach that's listening to this podcast, that's going to that conference, give me two or three things that you think that they should do from a networking standpoint at the conference.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be there on a Friday. So we got the little one. My wife is going back to school, so hopefully I can get out of town for a day. I think one of the first things is introduce yourself to some of the bigger names in the NSCA. Go say hi to Scott, Coach Caulfield. Great guy. Very open. Go visit the tables. Introduce yourself. When you're sitting in on a lecture or a presentation, ask a question. Oftentimes, when I've presented, you presented. Does anybody have any questions? It's, you know, sometimes people have no questions. And we all know people have questions when we present. come into it with a question ready to ask, and then speak to two or three people after the presentations to see if you can observe them in their facility or at their university. I've never met a strength conditioning coach that will say no. I think that's one of the biggest things for us. So big things is, you know, introduce yourself to the NSCA coaches, especially Scott. Ask questions at presentations and talk to those presenters afterwards. If you're dying to know how they get on that stage, ask them. I've asked you about it. You know, how do you get more presentations? There's nothing wrong with asking questions to find out answers, or else you're just left wondering.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the one thing that I want people to hone in on that is setting up the next thing. You know, so many times you meet somebody in an elevator at a bar or whatever, and it's, you know, you try to impress them in that 30 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever you have, but there's no follow up, you know? And so,
right.
You know, the advice that I give people is all about, you're never going to make a lasting impression in 2 minutes, you know, it's not going to happen. And so find the way, and basically, you know, I would shake their hand and say, hey coach, can I call you in a couple of weeks, or can I go visit you in a couple of weeks? You know, and then, you know, now you've got a little bit more of a concentrated time. I mean, you know, you've been around me in conferences. I mean, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, Mr. Pompous, but it's hard for me to walk, you know, two or three steps without either running into somebody I know or somebody coming up to me. And, you know, it's everything I can do just to remember the last person I talked to, let alone, you know,
right,
who you are 2 months down the road, you know. And so setting that up, I think, is a critical piece. You know, you're at St. Lawrence, you do a lot of work there on top of the academics and on top of your business, but working with high school athletes, you know, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges, and what are some of the ways that, you know, coaches can go about creating opportunities at the high school level?
All right. So it took me about 2 years to get into St. Lawrence. And that was with numerous meetings with the president and with the AD. Some of the biggest hurdles is getting the sport coaches involved in buy-in. We often talk about athlete buy-in. At this next level, it's really about getting sport coach buy-in at the high school level. While we're on staff there, there's three of us there. I'm the director of it. It's my job to build buy-in with those sport coaches. And it's really going in and being respectful of their current program. I always tell my sport coaches when I walk in, I am not going to come here and just take your program and throw it in the garbage. That's not my role. My role is to coach the kids and gradually bring into our program, based off of assessments, based off of surveys of who your kids are and where they want to go. I'll give you a perfect example. We went in the first day and we watched the football team max out. Right, so it was deadlifts, squats, and bench. Some of the worst things I've seen. My job was not to just immediately go in there and berate the coach and say, what are you doing? How come you're not coaching these things? It's to teach the coaches as well. So not only are we teaching athletes, we're teaching the sport coaches. One of the biggest things we did as a staff was send out surveys to each of our student athletes. And there were surveys to get a little bit past history of their lifting and their experience, but it's really to get to know who they are. We have 500 athletes that we train a week there. And we got to make sure that we know these kids and build relationships with these kids. And these student athletes, they're very sensitive in the fact of you're coming to teach them. They're taking time. Anytime we take time away from somebody, it's precious. And we have to realize that as coaches, whether it's taking the time away from a sport coach and asking for a meeting, an AD, that hour or 2 hours you're meeting with them, that's time that is valuable. So you got to make it worth your while. So always go in with a plan when you're talking to the sport coaches. When you're dealing with athletes, biggest hurdle was get them to come in and, you know, create that buy-in with them as well. But what really helped break the ice was creating surveys and sending them out. It was really a cool thing we did. We got to know a lot about them previously to them coming into the weight room. So it wasn't just, hi, you know, my name's Coach Brad. You know, what's your name? We already knew who they were. We did our research on who they were. We did the research on the teams. Hey, we know the track team is really, really good this year. They finished third in state last year. How are we going to improve that? And then it's really creating assessment protocols. Getting 500 kids assessed is a lot of work. And then realizing it's not a one-fit-all program, right? So I actually wrote this out for my staff the other day. was we have 12 teams currently. We have 9 different programs going, different methodologies, different tweaks to the program, because I wanted them to realize the program design writing part is always fun. I think all coaches love it. And it's implementing it is fun too. But realizing when you take a step back saying, you know, each one of these kids are individuals and we got to treat them as such, that is a big hurdle. So we use an application on our phone device, Train Heroic, which you know really well, which has really streamlined the process, and kids love it. Kids have bought into it and we get really good results with it. But, you know, getting to know the student athletes and the sport coaches is really paramount to a successful program.
Yeah, that time piece that you mentioned, I think that's the critical message there is, you know, whether it's time investing into developing a relationship with the coaches or time investing a relationship in the athletes or, you know, taking time to try to educate or do whatever, you got to be respectful of that. And, you know, too many times as coaches, we think that the world kind of revolves around us and everybody cares about strength and conditioning, and it's really just a sliver of a piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. And we got to know where, you know, where it's an important piece, you know, no doubt about it, but it's a sliver of the pie. And we got to be respectful and to, you know, find opportunities to affect change. That's what coaching is. So right. I agree with you 100%. You know, kind of going along the lines of giving back to the coaches, I know something that also is important is, you know, focusing on leaving a legacy, leaving it better than you found it, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's all kind of said and done here, I mean, how are you going about in the middle of your career, halfway through it, kind of planting seeds now to where you can leave that kind of legacy when it's all said and done?
Well, you know, I told my students in my intro to exercise science course last semester, we're talking about careers, and I circled, being a professor, and, you know, one of my students asked, why'd you circle it? I said, by the time I was 40, I wanted to be exactly where I was today. My legacy is not creating great athletes. That's part of what we do as a living. My legacy is creating good coaches. Being a late bloomer as far as academics, you know, I got my master's in 2016, I believe. So I coached for almost 14 years before I went back to school. And it was intentional. One, I'm a first generation college graduate, so school wasn't my big calling right away. I didn't want to go bachelor's, master's, and doctorate. So I went back, realizing the greatest mark I can have on the field, what my so-called legacy may be, is developing coaches at the undergraduate level and graduate level that can walk into a Tennessee, Eastern Michigan, you know, professional setting and coach from day one. That is going to be my legacy. Developing these young coaches, you know, the byproduct of developing great coaches is developing great athletes, and creating that kind of buy-in. But it really is developing these undergraduates that are so new to the field that really do not know what's ahead of them, and being honest with them. I remember as a student, nobody was honest with me. Hey, 1 year you're going to make 10 grand. You know, nobody, if somebody told me that, yeah, they would scare me. But I bring in speakers. I bring in people that are current in the field to say, this is what it's like. And this is what you're in for. And then with that, it's creating a good curriculum that's challenging, that not only sets them up for success when they leave, but also in the future. So that's another thing. We don't want them to leave our university going, okay, great, I got a bachelor's of science degree. Now, you know, what am I going to do with it? They should be set ready to go when they leave here. Oftentimes, I've had over 80 interns in my career. Oftentimes, I'm reinventing the wheel with them and telling them how to program, telling them how to design, how to set up an Excel sheet. Half of them don't know how to do that. Heck, right. I use what you guys did with, I think it's Steve Olson, right? I use that episode all the time in my classes. You want to see how it's done? Here's the expert in it. The guy's awesome. Watch this YouTube video. And now they're like, you know, hey, this is awesome. This is interesting. How do I keep going? And that's where my legacy is going to be, is setting up the future coaches of strength and conditioning.
Yeah, I think, you know, the things that are important to take away there, in my opinion, is you didn't, it wasn't something that you did, you know, all of a sudden you got your degree, you coached somebody for a year, and then you jumped out and you said, okay, I'm ready to mentor coaches. You know, you went back to school, you got advanced learning, you got experience, you know, a wealth of experiences and a kind of a portfolio that you could draw upon to be able to give them life, you know, advice in these areas. And then, you know, more importantly, I think, you know, for the areas that you're maybe not the expert in, you know who is, and you've aligned and created some social proof with bringing those people to people. I think too much now, you know, I've had a bunch of young coaches work for me, and if I ask them what are they going to be great at, or what, you know, what can they be the best in the world at, or, you know, what are they ultimately passionate about doing? Like, everybody is saying, I want to mentor coaches. And I'm like, cool. Well, do it, you know, become a great coach first, you know, right. and then mentor from there. And I think too many times we just want to jump out. But what you've done in your career by having that diversity and experience and constantly, you know, I think when you teach, you become a better learner as well, you know, and
oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're forced to kind of to know the material, you know, that and so that's that 10,000 hour rule that Malcolm Gladwell, you know, you're putting tons of time in. So I agree with all that, man. We end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
The best piece of coaching advice, be yourself. I think oftentimes when we're coaches and we have this persona, you know, like I want to be a Scott Cochran, you know, I want to be a yeller. If you're not a yeller, you're not a yeller. I'm not a crazy yeller in the weight room. I know how to motivate. I've been with coaches who are yellers. The biggest piece of advice was don't be somebody who you're not. Be yourself. Coaches, sport coaches will respect you more. Your colleagues will respect you more. And the biggest thing, your athletes will respect you more. Because if you're one way all the time and then all of a sudden you switch and I'm really this way, then they're going to lose a little bit of respect for you. Just be yourself. Be who you are. You know, hold your personal stuff to your vest. So don't bring your personal stuff into the weight room. And be yourself. Those are the biggest pieces of advice I've gotten.
Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
All right. I got two books I'm currently reading right now. I got Bridging the Gap from Rehab to Performance. Great book. We use it in class all the time. Sue's book. And then we got the awesome The System. I'm having my interns read this now. Great guys on there, Johnny Parker, Al Miller, smart guys. Great book read. Very good for the high school athletes we're working with. So I have my guys reading that right now. The app, Train Heroic, is a great app. I mentioned them before, but they've made my job as a director very easy as far as programming. And then a website, I like Stronger by Science. I think they do a great job. They got some great articles up there. Greg does a great job in his writing. It's something I often read weekly.
Yeah, those are all great, great, great resources. Well, man, like I said in the beginning, I mean, you know, the fact that you take the time to go above and beyond just what's, you know, I mean, education alone could provide for your family, running a business alone could provide for your family, working in the high school setting alone could provide for your family, but you piece all those together and, you know, so that you can bring this kind of knowledge to the people that you work with. And to me, you know, that's what a mentor does. A mentor takes on the burden, you know, and so that others can learn from their experiences. And so, you know, I'm excited for you as always, you know, a great, good friend and appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate the time and thank you for letting me share a little bit of my story. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.